today's talk is entitled Leave Space for God. It includes ways we can become more aware of the activity of God in our lives and in our world, and ways we can partner with the invisible realm, and how to recognize the results of this partnership, and includes common ways that we block this awareness, and how we can stop blocking it. Leaving space for God begins with a recognition of our core beliefs. Now, that term comes up a lot in this church. You recognize it? Core beliefs, this is the proper response. Core beliefs, which we sometimes call root beliefs, they can be called foundational beliefs. They can come from race mind. They can come from our parents and society. They can come from the religions of our childhood. We talk about the importance of core beliefs, how they color our perception of the world. And sometimes the terminology that we use is as much confusing as it is clarifying. So I'm going to introduce a couple of other ways of defining core beliefs. And the first one is from this book I'm reading now by Michelle Small-Wright. It's called Pivot. Michelle Small-Wright is the woman who founded Paralandra Garden in Virginia. It's based on working with nature spirits like Fendhorn in Scotland is. She calls this the foundation of logic. Her core belief is the foundation of logic. And she wrote about restructuring my foundation of logic. And she said, those foundations are developed from years of experience and exposure to available information. How we perceive reality and make judgments about the reality that constantly swirls around us is drawn from our foundation of logic. It all depends on our core beliefs, what we believe is true about reality. Then Wright went on to say that allowing herself to let go of existing logic resulted in a seismic earthquake-like adjustment. This woman works with nature as it manifests things from the invisible realm and virtually hands them to her. That is a seismic adjustment in how you believe that reality works. And it was a seismic adjustment for her when it actually happened. Allowing herself to let go of existing logic resulted in a seismic adjustment. The reality she had become to expect all these years was no longer nailed down. It's all an illusion. She learned, I'm going to share three of the things she said she learned. The first, the average life of a human being is much more expansive than we commonly accept or expect. We are much bigger than we think we are, and we have influence over a much larger realm than we currently understand. The second thing, with a little training, we can reach beyond the self-imposed box that has been created by our assumptions and expectations and broaden our understanding and experience about life. So you built yourself a box, we all did, out of our core beliefs. And that box is in between us and the truth about reality. When we look for the truth, we see our box. So today is about dismantling the box of our assumptions, which is the same thing as looking at and discarding or continuing to accept our core beliefs. The third thing that Michelle Small-Wright said is, things are happening around us and beyond our five senses all the time. All the time. Including this moment right now. And this one right now. And this one. The second explanation of what a core belief is, with a new terminology for you, is from A Course of Love. A Course of Love is the sequel to A Course in Miracles. If you're not familiar with either one of those books, occasionally we go over books and we'll explain them. They're awesome, but they are not to be taken lightly. The Course of Love said, the way in which you go about seeking for the truth in places it is not, right, causes it to remain hidden from you. However, your recognition that truth is available in a place other than on the surface is useful, as is your recognition that something other than what appears on the surface does exist. There is always the rest of the story. Now, while these quotes may lead us to believe that our task is superhuman, it is not. It is exactly human. Our task is exactly human. For this we were created, and in this we will be fulfilled. So not to worry, we've got four little baby steps mapped out. Slide, please. Yay! Thank you. Four little baby steps mapped out that will loosen your hold on your current worldview, which can be called a core belief, which can be called the foundation of your logic. Starting to get it. And will allow you to expand and deepen your true understanding of God and self, and learning to leave space for God, learning to let loose of what you don't even realize you're holding onto so very tightly, and that is blocking your understanding of your good. So, let's begin. These four steps I extracted from four different sources, and they're powerful sources, and I put them together because of their common purpose. The first one, my source, was Bashar, our interplanetary invisible counselor for this church. And Bashar introduced the concept of the both and. Both and more. When you are confronted with an either or, multiple choice, or true-false question, consider that the best answer may be both and more, or all of these and more. Remembering that the both and is an option allows us to break out of the restrictions of conventional thought, to reconcile seeming opposites, and to make an opening for a higher way of understanding the illusion of duality. You know, so often the way the question is phrased controls the answer. So what you're being asked to do is take a step back and not give an answer according to the structure of the question, to expand your understanding of the question and to know that it isn't necessarily this or this. Often it is this and this, both, and more. This is a very practical teaching. I've used it a lot. I've applied it to conundrums, things I couldn't understand. Is it this? Is it that? Maybe it's both. Maybe the answer is something bigger, something overarching, and these are not really differences. Now, choosing the both and enables us to exit the hamster wheel of rational thought, there's a reason why it goes like that, and turn questions with which we struggle over to our higher mind and allow space for God, allow for divine solutions, things that you hadn't expected to be revealed, things that were not embedded in the question, in the options you were given for answers. There are many choices put before us each day, and some of them are contrived. This is one of the things that irritates me. And they're actually presented as opposites many times, when they're not at all. contrived pairings would include faith versus fact. Those are not opposite things. Science versus religion, not opposite. Cat versus dog, not opposite. Liberal versus conservative. Christian versus Muslim. Salt versus pepper. Guess what? Salt and pepper aren't opposite from each other. It's two different seasonings. No more than salt and cinnamon are opposite each other. So you have to look at the question and look at what has been engineered in the question to guide you into an answer that is not guiding you toward the greater truth. The both and. Using this approach, the both and, allows us to meld differing schools of thought and leaves room for new discoveries. The both and, a good way to leave space for God. The second one is the maybe I don't know. And this is from a book called Everyday Enlightenment by Paul Farini. In any situation that confounds you, take a minute to wonder, maybe I don't know. Maybe what I've always responded to in this situation is not really the truth. Maybe there's another way. Maybe I don't know. Where is your fallback or default position? What knee-jerk reactions do you have? What words trigger you? What are the old stories that you tell, and do you still agree with yourself about them? Okay, I'm going to give you an example. For a long time, when people complained about the bright, cheery little sales clerks that always said, "Have a good day," you've been around people who complained about that? You know? I would have a fallback position of telling a story about going with my mother to buy something to wear to the funeral of her husband. And all the little clerks going, "Have a nice day." But once I started working with these ideas, if the conversation went in a direction where I normally would have told that story on how it would take longer and, you know, made it more dramatic, I would stop and think, do I really want to do that now? And do I want to introduce into this conversation the idea of my stepfather's death, the idea of my mother's grieving? Do I want to go to that place emotionally myself? Or maybe I don't know what to say here. Maybe I could keep my mouth shut. Maybe I could listen for a change. To stop and think, maybe I don't know. Maybe the things I've always assumed, especially the ones that are like your template for reality, are the ones you need to look at. Maybe they're not true. Maybe you don't know that to be true. It's okay to not know and leave space for God to inform you. The third one, this is from A Course in Miracles. There's a different way of seeing this. There's a different way of seeing this. In the deepest way, and A Course in Miracles is a very deep body of work, this is to be taken literally. You open your eyes, you look at this room, you look at this world, and it's not real. There's a different way of seeing this. And the best example I have found was in a movie called Midnight Express, which is not about a Turkish prison. That was a different movie. This one is about a young boy who was born very sensitive to all the stimuli, and he also had some strange powers. He was psychic and sounds like everybody in this room. Anyhow, the feds were after him, and his father was trying to run away with him and protect him, and he had to wear sunglasses and this helmet. And finally, when they get to the last scene of the movie, they show the world the way it looks to this little boy, and it is full of crystal palaces and skyscrapers, and I'm getting goosebumps. The cities of tomorrow, the city of today, if only we could see it. If only we could remove the block believing in the illusion that we've been taught, because there is literally a different way of seeing this. A Course in Miracles says that when you start being able to see the real world, sometimes things look like they're glowing around the edges, because this is like a screen. It's the veil. It's a veil that separates illusion from the spiritual truth, from the vision of heaven. There's a different way of seeing this. Now, that was the deeper way of operating this particular idea. I have a simpler way, and it's on the more of a psychological level. I moved into a house, this is years ago, and I had a tall, dark honey moving in with me, and I was just nesting like crazy. You can believe that I do have a big nesting urge. But the wallpaper of this rental house was chartreuse and white plaid. And you know, you've really got to like a thing like that in order to like a thing like that. And I'd always wanted a blue and purple kitchen. And when I mentioned replacing the wallpaper to the landlady, she was not supportive of that idea at all. I didn't know what to do. So I was lying on the couch, looking through the door into the kitchen at that wallpaper. And all of a sudden, I thought, I wonder how all my little copper kitchen accessories, you know, measuring cups and jello molds and all those things you hang on the wall, would look on that wallpaper. They were stunning. Copper and chartreuse, those are like the colors that bounce off of each other. It was awesome. It was a different way of seeing it. I called up the landlady, shared my good news with her. She wasn't impressed. I don't even know. She didn't know yet why I bothered to call her up. There are other things that help you see things differently, and that's talking to other people, listening to other people, and being open. Being open to the possibilities, remembering that there is always a different way to see things. And the last one, what if I did know, is a counseling technique that I learned when I was taking counseling classes in school. And the way it works is, if you have a client and you're asking them, well, why do you feel that way? Or why do you think he did that? Or what would you like to be if it made you happy? And the answer is, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. What you do is you ask, what if you did know? What would the answer be? And the vast majority of the time, they'll tell you, well, if I did know, I would say I wanted to be a rocket scientist. Well, if I did know, I would say I didn't like him because he insulted my dress. If I did know, what if you did know? So when you are puzzling over something in life that is bothering you and you can't seem to figure it out, use the what if you did know. Oh, well, if I were God and I were creating the universe and I had to explain this situation, this is how I'd do it. If I did know, this is how I'd do it. So after practicing these steps, it will seem natural to understand that the universe is alive, literally, responsive. It is aware of you, of you, of you, individually and specifically. And it is proactive on your behalf. Once you start working with the invisible realm, using techniques to identify your core beliefs, to modify them, and to have a bigger vision of God and of yourself. So I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians, this is chapter 12. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. When we put aside our childish ways. And as we make space for God to work in our hearts and in our lives, we see more clearly and understand more fully our power and our purpose. We begin to part the veil of mystery that hides the spiritual realm from our everyday human understanding. And as we part the veil, God, in all its awe and majesty, is revealed and reflects us back to us. And that ends the lesson. God bless you.